Amen. Good job, praise team. Band sounds great. Pathfinders, you look great today. I had to break out my high school Pathfinder uniform. That's why the sleeves are rolled up, because they only go down to like about here. So forgive me for that. Don't dock me points. There's this set of words that if you were a Pathfinder, you probably still know to this day. I haven't been to a Pathfinder meeting in years, but if someone was to ask me what the Pathfinder law was, I could recite it off the top of my head. We're all going to do it together right now, okay? Pathfinder law is for me to keep the morning watch, do my honest part, care for my body, keep a level eye, be courteous and obedient, walk softly in the sanctuary, keep a song in my heart, and go on God's errands. Good job, guys. For those of you that were not a Pathfinder, that may sound a little weird. I'm sorry. Today, we're just going to go through that really quickly, because even though it may sound a little kind of outdated or maybe for only a certain group of people, the Pathfinder law has a lot of good lessons for every Adventist, for every Christian. Keep the morning watch. This means that you can never sleep in. No, I'm actually really glad that's not what it means, because I'm horrible at waking up in the morning. People that lived with me would always hear my alarms before I did, even if they were in other rooms across the house. Alarms will, like, I'll hear them in my dreams, and so not wake up. It'll just become a part of my dream. So I even had a vibrating Bluetooth wristband that would, like, try to wake me up, and even that didn't work. So now I have to put, like, my phone up high in, like, a different part of the room and then set the alarm to go off, like, a ways before I need it to go off. And then I go and sleepwalk over to it, turn it off, get back in bed, and then do that a few more times before I actually realize, oh, wait, I need to get up. So keep the morning watch is not one that I was super excited about. But then I learned a little bit more about it, and what it means is to spend daily time with God. Now, doing that in the morning is kind of the most traditional or common way that people would have that devotional time or that time with God. But this is encouraging us, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, to spend that daily time with Him, be it through prayer, scripture, music, or however else we cultivate that relationship with God. Do my honest part. What is the honest part that we're supposed to do? For Christians, that honest part is to embody the mentality that Jesus modeled for us of service. Being a Christian means serving, and not just when it's explicitly obvious that it's your job to do that service. For example, tomorrow we're having our seniors' brunch where the pastors are going to serve our Koinonia group. However, Danielle and I were noticing that Pastor Alger said 50 and over. And if we're describing 50 and over as seniors, then it's really only going to be me, Trevin, and Danielle serving, because all the other pastors fit into that category. So even though they have the right to be served tomorrow, though, they will be doing the serving. They will be doing their honest part. Because when you're a follower of Christ, doing your part entails more than doing what everyone else has to do. We've been called to and accepted a life of service, and we should strive to live like it. I have some friends of mine that are actually married, and right before they got married, my friend was doing the wedding, and he told me what they were doing for their honeymoon, and it was a secret at the time. He said, yeah, they're telling everyone they're going to Denmark, but actually they're going to Denmark just because that's the easiest way to get to that island in the Mediterranean where all the refugees are going. And so for their honeymoon, they're going to serve and help refugees. And I was like, man, these guys are like the only actual Christians I know. They're the ones that do the stuff that the rest of us talk about. That is doing your honest part. Care for my body. This is a nice, really Adventist one, right? This is the one that we've learned, and so we get to brag about being in a blue zone. We get to talk about how Adventists live longer than everyone else. But caring for my body is more than just an Adventist bragging point. It's the idea that our body is not just a throwaway container for a soul, which is pretty uniquely Adventist. And this tradition, it gives us a greater reason to take care of ourselves than proving that we've got the food thing right. It's because we love and respect God that we love and respect the bodies he gave us. Keep a level eye. For those of you that are sports fans, you may be watching the basketball and the hockey playoffs right now. I'm not doing that because both of my teams are too stupid to be in either of those things right now, so it's just too frustrating. And I cannot watch sports unless I have like a rooting interest. And since my teams aren't good enough, I'm not watching those sports right now. And so it's always amazed me that refs, like at least they're supposed to keep an objective view when they're watching a game. And I'm like, man, what if he grew up as like a fan of this team and now he's like, this is his chance to like give him that extra, you know, that extra inch towards the goal line, or maybe that call could have gone either way, but since he likes that guy more than this one, he did it for them. But hopefully at least they're called to be objective. That's the same thing that we call our teachers to, our judges to, so many people in our lives. And that's what this part of the law is saying. It's saying be fair, be just, be honest. For some of us, that can be pretty hard, but it's a standard that God has called us to uphold. Be courteous and obedient. This one was always my toughest one, man. Be courteous and obedient. It's not that I have a problem with people telling me what to do. It's just that if they're telling me to do something that I don't think I should have to do, then I have a problem with it. But I can get behind the obedience thing. Like, it makes sense to do the things you're supposed to do, to listen to the people you're supposed to listen to. But I have to be courteous as well. I have to do it like I like to do it. I don't know if I can do that one. And courteous, that just means like say please and thank you, right? No, I think courteous means something a little bit more here. Obedience is treating those that deserve or command your respect with respect, and courtesy is treating everyone with respect and kindness, even if they don't deserve it. This is the difficult part. But it's one of those things about being a Christian that we kind of like to forget. Courtesy and the kind of ultimate Christian cliche, but the truest one as well, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These are essential to the Christian lifestyle. So let's try to keep a certain finger down when we're mistreated on the highway. Let's try to return the rudeness from that coworker with courtesy. Let's try to live like Christ. Walk softly in the sanctuary. This was one that older church members would like to say to younger church members when they were being a little too rowdy or doing something too loudly at church. You need to remember to walk softly in the sanctuary. And yes, this one is about reverence, but maybe reverence means something different than just talking with whispers. Reverence is practicing the last piece of the Pathfinder Law, being courteous and obedient, but towards God. To shout praises to God is an example of reverence in letting all those around you know that you respect and love your Creator. But at the same time, kneeling quietly while you listen for God's voice is also an act of reverence, listening for what he's got to say. Reverence is not a tone of voice. It's an attitude towards the one who deserves all the love and respect that we can give. Keep a song in my heart. This was pretty easy for me because I perpetually have a song stuck in my head. I never don't have one. It gets replaced with whatever the next song is. And if I'm talking with you and you say something that happens to be a lyric of a song, I have no choice but to involuntarily sing those lyrics to that song. It can be very frustrating to my friends. The other day I was at my friend's house making coffee. And he was like, what you got to do today? You got to go to work? And I was like, work, 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 work. And like completely involuntarily. And he was like, man, now you got it stuck in my head. And now, I'm sorry, it's going to be stuck in your head. If you know the song, if not, then you're welcome. Don't try and listen to it. It's not worth it. Keep a song in my heart means that I will be a person whose life is a cheerful and joyful light to those around me, not someone that has a song stuck in their head. Now, I don't mean that we have to be children's television happy, you know, the kind of happy where everything is said like this, where, no, isn't that such a blessing? No, no one wants to talk to that person. This isn't what this part is saying. It's talking about an attitude that instead of complaining, moping, or just being downright negative, we inspire others to be hopeful and positive. It doesn't mean that we're never sad or that we simply smile our way through our difficulties, but what it does mean is that we do not make a habit of dwelling on the negative. Go on God's errands. This is the last part of the Pathfinder Law, and it's a pretty good part. It's the part that takes into action all that has been said before it. It's reminding us that all of the things that we just talked about are calls or errands from God to actually do something about this God we profess to follow. Let's say someone you live with, whether it be your parent or your spouse or your roommate, they say, hey, we're out of milk. Now, it's one thing for you to say, yes, we are out of milk. I agree. It's another thing for you to tell the world how important milk is as a part of your diet. It's another thing to complain to someone else, hey, did you hear that we're out of milk? It doesn't matter that you know that you're out of milk until you actually go on the errand to get more milk. And that's what this part is saying. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus was not concerned with those that said all the right things, asked all the right questions, or even believed all the right things. It's when those statements and beliefs were put into action in service to God and people that Jesus tells us we've got the point. And as outdated or unimportant or simply legalistic as this law may sound, they're the perfect opportunities to put our beliefs in action. We heard a scripture just a minute ago, Hebrews 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Verse 17, he also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. God has placed his law on our hearts, the law revealed through the Bible. But we're going to mess up. We're inevitably going to slip up, forget, or just plain ignore the errands God is sending us on. We're going to skip a devotional. We're probably not going to be as honest as we always could be. We'll most likely eat something that can be considered less than healthy. We're probably going to do something unjust. We're going to be less than respectful of someone. At times, we're not going to treat God with the reverence he deserves. We might even end up being too negative. But no matter what, God is there loving us through all our slip-ups. He's there encouraging us to keep trying. He's there ready to forgive us when we've made mistakes. So, Pathfinder or not, no matter who you are, let's answer Jesus' call to follow him with our whole lives. Let's run to him when we feel like we can't, and let's accept his free forgiveness when we've fallen short. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to listen to the plans that you have for our lives. We ask that whenever we deviate that plan, you would give us the courage and the encouragement to come running back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.